you work for the man. Said, you got connections with him. She said, how about do me a favor and ask him, can he do something about this heat? Or Sasby said, can you brew something about this heat? And I said, look, ma'am, I'm just in sales. I'm not in management. Isn't God good? Yesterday, it was really kind of wild because yesterday, matter of fact, all week has been right here. Come on, the batteries are getting weak again. The batteries got left on overnight again. This thing doesn't work too good when the batteries get left on. Here we go. Let's try it one more time. There we go. There. Now, how many can say that describes your life? I didn't say you had to enjoy it. Didn't say you had to bicker about it. But that's some things been going on lately. You feel like you got one great big old thundercloud over top of your head. And you sound like you're always trying to get out. Matter of fact, I thought about it. And here's actually the name of it, when the bottom drops out. You know, I ride down the road and I hear it all the time. Linda will look and see these great big clouds. She goes, honey, it's like the bottom's getting ready to drop out. Especially in this last couple of weeks because of all these hurricanes we've had around here. That's been a very strong thing. When we lived in Benson, that's actually how I looked in my backyard frequently because we had an iron ore deposit somewhere over there, and it was always thunderstorms. And you could be in, I was in a church one night preaching, and you heard something go through the air over top of the church. We went, and after we heard pop, and all the lights went out. So, I mean, it was a constant thing there. But, you know, have you ever felt like, Lord, the bottom has just dropped out? Amen? Amen. Y'all awful quiet. Amen. Get your Bibles out. I got a Bible somewhere. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Stand for the reading of the word. Matthew 14. If you don't know where Matthew is, go to the Old Testament, get to the end of it, take a right. Matter of fact, if you don't know where Matthew is in your Bible, come see me. We'll do a Bible study course. I had some fun with this one day. I was in Bible college, and I was in there with about 23 seasoned pastors and the professor said, David, can you read from Matthew chapter whatever? And I looked up, I stood up and I said, is that Old Testament or New? All right. That's the same reaction I got from all the preachers too. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning with verse, let's just read beginning in verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So they had just seen a miracle where honestly about, let's say, at least 15,000 ate from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 15,000 people. And now they've got 12 baskets. That word basket does not just mean basket. In the Greek, it's kafanos, which means where we get the word coffin, which means a very huge basket. So they've got 12 baskets full left over from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's amazing. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, how many here can see the wind? He saw the effects of a very powerful wind. Then they that were in the ship came, or excuse me, and where are we at here? And when he come, praise God. 30, thank you. But when I need some light up here. Is there a light? Isn't there a light up here? Right here, there you go. Thank you. Now I can see. Praise God. Not that one. I don't need. There you go. I'm not four wheeling. All right, here we go. Here we go. There you go. And not those either, Don. Just that top would be fine. Thank you. They're all awful hot. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. I thank you, God, that all things are in your hands. In you, Lord, we are complete. And I thank you for that. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mightily to us and through us to make the difference that only you can make in our lives, Lord. God, you're an awesome God, a powerful God. And we ask you right now, Lord, to minister in a way, Lord, that we'll know that you've been here. And we'll thank you when we get through this day. Thank you for what you're doing for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. There you go. There you go. So, what do you do when the bottom goes drops out? Of course, this whole thing came from all these storms we're having. Because it's amazing to me how when the storm came in Texas, it still affected the entire nation. Some were affected, and I'm not trying to be piddly when I say this, so please don't say now he's trying to be piddly. I'm not being piddly. But some of the stuff that was supposed to, some of the products that were supposed to come for Texas could not come. And so some things were disrupted. Some products were disrupted. Some products, the price of them went outrageous. And the people there were displaced. Some of them are still displaced. They'll be displaced for a long time. And in the middle of working all this, there's that earthquake in Mexico. And while there's an earthquake in Mexico, then with Harvey, there was Irma. And there was a very powerful thing that happened there. And so storm. We have seen rain here from Irma. We've seen rain here from Harvey. But at the same time, you look at the gas pumps, the gas prices going up. And they say, well, we don't get all of our stuff down from in the Gulf. Well, we have our refineries are in the Gulf. And so even though they say we don't get all of our stuff from everywhere else, it still made the gas prices jump 25, 30, 40, 50 cents. And things have been crazy. And also, when the gas prices go up, shipping goes up. And when shipping goes up, products go up. So everywhere you look, you can have a storm one place or the other, but it can affect everybody in a very powerful way. That's why I pray for these folks, even though I like to say, yeah, we dodged a bullet. No, we didn't. The bullet still creased us. Amen? It creased the whole nation. And in some places, as a matter of fact, it creased the whole world. And like when there's a terror attack somewhere, we all suffer for it. So in this global economy that we have, always remember, don't just say, oh, I'm glad that weren't here. Pray for them. Because number one, it could be here, but even though it's not here, it's still here. All right? We're all affected in some way. So storms. Storms are a violent disturbance. And if you look it up, a meteorology term, storms are a violent disturbance in the atmosphere. It causes damage to anything and anyone in its path, and is classified as physical. In the Christian life, there can be physical storms, mental storms, emotional storms, and spiritual storms. As a pastor, I constantly am working with people that are going through storms. They'll come to me and they'll go, can we talk? And I'll be anywhere. I can be anywhere. It doesn't matter where I'm at, a store, another wherever at, doing something, walking down the street at my mother-in-law's house. Walking down the street and somebody knows I'm a pastor or knows I counsel, and they'll come up to me and say, can we talk? And I go, sure, what you want to talk about? I know good and well that they want to talk about who got the paper delivered that day. But everybody's going through storms in their life. We've all got storms. I've got storms in my life. I know you got storms in your own life. It's terrible. Sometimes it feels like we're just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. But God's got this thing. Amen. So where you see atmosphere, you could actually just put the word surroundings. It is a violent disturbance in my surroundings. How many's had your surroundings shaken lately? Amen. It can be through your children. It can be through your spouse. It can be through your in-laws. It can be through whatever. But that's exactly what I'm talking about by storms. And I looked at this thing very strongly. And as I began looking at storms, because I want to say something that's going to be positive, not negative, in the middle of all this. Because these storms have a tendency to make us negative. These storms have a tendency to put a lot of weight on our shoulders. And sometimes it just gets hard to carry the weight. So let's look at the origin. The origin is, let's look at John 10:10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and to destroy. And then it says, but I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. If you look at the makeup, look at the makeup of this sentence here. The thief cometh not, but to, meaning he's coming, and he's not knocking on the door. He's coming, and he has a deliberate attack made for you. And this deliberate attack, he's not going to ask you, can he come? He's not going to ask you what you think about it. He's going to come, and he's going to bring it. And we are subject to have an attack come, whether we like it or not. They're going to happen. So when Satan brings a storm in our life, the purpose is to destroy us. Here's the hanger. Here's the niche. This is the thing that gives me so much hope. Jesus is talking about what Satan does, says he cometh, meaning he's coming like a locomotive. You're not going to stop him from coming at you except through the blood of Jesus Christ. So watch this. But when God allows it, the purpose is to build you up. So Satan intends to destroy you, and if you have the wrong attitude, it will destroy you. But if you have the right attitude, it'll build you up. It'll make you stronger. So God's purpose is to build you up. He said, but I am come. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Might. So Satan comes without an invitation. Satan comes without sending you any information that he's coming. But God says, Jesus says, but that you might have life, meaning you got a choice. You can let the things in life destroy you, or you can let them build you up. It's your choice, not Satan's. Satan wants to destroy you. Everything that ever happens in the negative to you, Satan does it to destroy you. But when Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he's saying the decision is yours. Satan's coming. He's going to knock on the door. He's just going to bust it down. But I am come that you might. If you choose my way, it will not destroy you. It'll build you up. And so if we look at it that way, remember this. God is always in control. In every situation, God is always still in control. You know, I've told you this many, many times, and I get this question asked so many times. Where was God, especially this one, and I've had this asked to me on several occasions, where was God when my son died? If he's always in control, if he's always got my back, where was God when my son died? And my answer is this, to every last one of them, the same place he was at when his son died. On the throne in control. On the throne in control. God knows how you feel. God experienced that through the life and death of Jesus Christ. But God has also got a lesson. With everything that comes at you, there's a lesson. So instead of me saying, God, why? Now I say, God, what? Okay, you've let this come in my life. I'm not going to ask you why you let it come. I'm going to ask you, what was the purpose behind you letting it, allowing it to be in my life? And if you ask God why he allowed it, then you're going to get answers. Who got Mighty Army this morning? It said, living by faith, you're going to have to face it. Living by faith, there's going to be a lot of unanswered questions. Amen? We can't answer every question. I can't answer every question. There's no way. Do you know you're going to go to your grave with unanswered questions? You're going to go to your grave with listen to this carefully. You're going to go to your grave with unresolved conflict. But it does not mean that you can't get along with that person. It does not mean that you can't dwell with that person. It does not mean that you can't dwell well with that person. But there's always going to be unanswered questions and unresolved conflict But that's why living by faith is, God, you're in control. You're teaching me lessons. I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to trust you no matter what. So now, we just read this, Matthew 14. Peter, he's on this boat, and now he sees Jesus coming. And he says, Lord, if it be thou you, bid me come. And so he says, okay, come. And he gets out of the boat, and as he gets out of the boat, he starts looking around and seeing how everything is in a bad situation. Think about something. Nothing has changed. From the time he got out of the boat to the time he got walking to Jesus, nothing had changed. So watch this. The invitation for Jesus came in the storm. He accepted the invitation in the storm. But as he began to walk in the storm, I don't know whether he expected the storm to quit, if he expected the storm to get better, if he thought everything was going to be okay, but nothing changed. I can't drive that point home enough. Some of us think as soon as Jesus calls us, everything changes. No. Just because Jesus is in the storm with you does not mean he's going to stop the storm. You know, boats don't sink because they're in the water. They're made to be buoyant. They have a buoyancy to it. They're made to be in the water. They are not the buoyancy, the law of buoyancy. They're not going to sink when they're in the water. They're surrounded by water. The boat only sinks when it gets water in it. Some of us are allowing the water to get in us and not letting the bilge pump of faith keep the water out. Wow. You say, God, I don't know if I can keep living in all this problems around me. And God says, that's not the problem. The problem is not the problems around you. The problem is you're letting the problems get in you. And like a boat, the water on the inside of the boat is what sinks it. So look, so here it goes. This speaks of unstable times. Look at this thing. This is very, very, very powerful. The passage speaks of unstable times. Their vision was obscured. They're in this storm. The footing was unsecure. Security was not there. It was insecure. Some of y'all right now are going through this. It may not be a storm actually out there. It might not be an Irma or a Harvey. But it could be a John. It could be a Tom. It could be a Carol. A relationship. Maybe with your work. A relationship in the family. It could be something going on, but you're here and you can't see good. It's obscure. You don't even know how to put your foot down anymore to get anything straight, and your security is all taken away. And so it's during this time is when the problems really begin to happen. So you see the ship. That was a collective problem. So they're all in this ship, and they're having a hard time trying to navigate. And Peter is an experienced fisherman. And he cannot control the boat because of the storm. Some of us think we got it all together. Anybody in here think you got it all together? Raise your hand. Okay. Anybody in here that at one time thought you had it all together? Raise your hand. Hands should go up everywhere. But you know what? Every time I think that I got it all together, the Lord will show me, nah. You ain't got it all together. You know, I had this wild thought this morning. I was riding along, or it was last night. I was riding along in the dark, and I looked up, and I saw the stars. I looked down and said, well, God's on the outside of all that. So when he's looking down, and looks down on David Linton, until he zeroes in, he sees a little speck. I said, ain't that something? The angels are seeing a little speck till they come down and get on in involved in their life. And to see that speck, and I was thinking about that thing. The thing that's actually driving me crazy and is so big in my life that it's destroying me, I'm allowing it to destroy me. It's not destroying me. I'm allowing it to destroy me. Whatever that big object is, to God, it looks like a little bitty speck. So why is it impossible to believe that God can take care of that little bitty speck? What's a boulder to me is a speck to him. He can take care of it. So here they are. They're on the ship. And now, here it is. Individually, collectively, they're having problems. And now here's the problem. The bottom has dropped out. You see, there was two storms in the same day. We had two hurricanes in the same week. Irma and Harvey. And we had an earthquake in Mexico and the possibility of a tsunami. And so all this is going on, plus there's other earthquakes going on all around the world. But here, in this day, I want you to think about something. There was two storms that day. Think about it. Listen, watch this carefully now. The circumstances on the outside, the storm, and the disrupted peace on the inside. There's a train riding down through the mountains. Train's riding down through the mountains. The weather is so bad. Lightning is flashing. There's water covering the tracks, and the people are really kind of scared. And the train can't stop, because if it stops, it's going to be in trouble. So the train keeps navigating. And like I said, there's water, and they're scared to see trees falling, and they're having a hard time. And the people on the train are getting really, really upset. Some are praying. Some are screaming. And they look at this little girl sitting up front. The little girl sitting up front was swinging her legs, whistling. And somebody finally noticed that little girl up front, swinging her legs and just a whistling and singing. And finally, somebody walked up to that little girl sitting by herself and said, hey, dear, aren't you afraid? She said, of what? She said, haven't you looked out the window? She said, I'm looking out the window right now. She said, don't you see the water coming over the track? She said, yes, sir. Don't you see the trees falling? Yes, sir. Don't you see the rain and see the winds blowing and see the lightning? She says, yes, sir. I says, doesn't it scare you? Aren't you worried that this train's not going to make it? She said, I'm not worried at all. And he said, well, how come you're not like the rest of us? She says, oh, it's simple. My daddy's the engineer. That's right. My daddy's the engineer. And so it's a whole lot simpler when we really trust God and believe, you know, he's the engineer. He's got this. But too many times, we remember, it's not the water around the boat that sinks it, it's the water in the boat. It's not the problems around you that sinks you, it's when the problems get in you, then it sinks you. So now, well, there he is again. That is the most awesome picture. I told Brandon and them guys when I drew that picture. And they said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. I said, I drew it by copying and pasting. I drew it from the computer, like, and I put it right here. I'd love to have drawn that picture. I've lived that picture, but I haven't drawn it. Amen. All right, so here we go. So, when things are doing this around you, it's useless. And here's where we're at. It's useless to focus on the unsure things. If I get in a storm, if I'm letting the water get inside of me and I start focusing on somebody to give me security, if I start focusing on a relationship, focus on this and that, where the problem's at, then what's going to do is it's going to bring fear, frustration, no hope. I can't focus on my job. I can't focus on this and that. When these things are happening to me, I might be going through it, but if I focus on it, then they're being shaken too. I've got vertigo. How many here has ever had vertigo? You get a ride, you get a ride, man, I'm telling you what, it's like going to King's Dominion. One day, we were in Raleigh, Lynn and I were in Raleigh, we got in the hotel room, we were going to a convention the next day, we get in the hotel room, and when something about going to that weight or something that happens in my mind, give me that too, my sinuses, and I always get stopped up right around in that area, and so I got stopped up, and I was sitting on the bed. And when I'm sitting on the bed, Linda says, hey, look over here. And I twisted my head, and my body just started doing this. No kidding, I fell on the floor. I reckon I looked like Curly when he would run around on the side. I'm flipping on the floor, and I can't stop. And Linda looks down there, and I said, honey, stop me. And she just started laughing and thought I was being funny. And I said, stop me. And finally, I remembered, when you're spinning, you can't look at the stuff spinning with you. You have to look at something solid. And so I stopped and I looked up and focused on something on the ceiling. And it stopped. But as long as I was focusing on all the stuff spinning, I kept spinning. It was the worst attack I think I'd ever had. But when I focused, I looked at something that was not moving, that was firm, that was planted, then the vertigo stopped. Some of us, I'm going to tell you, I do it myself too, and I have to keep telling myself and catching myself. When you find yourself spinning, quit looking at the stuff that's spinning in your life to help you get security. It's not going to happen. It's only going to spin harder. The way you do is you look for something that's not spinning. And what is not spinning? Hey, it's pretty obvious. Jesus, He's not spinning. If I can take His word and read His word, I'll feel a whole lot better. I can worship. I feel a whole lot better. I can practice the promises of God in my life and practice the promises that whatever I'm going through, where God has given me assurance that it's going to be okay. And when I began to focus on, listen. If you got a person in your life that's driving you crazy, don't raise your hand. Do not point. If you focus on that person, I'm going to be very honest with you. It'll never get better. It'll get worse. But if you focus on Jesus and give Jesus that person, it'll change. There was a minister friend of mine, a minister. He was fighting with another minister. Holy, holy, holy. They are fighting like cats and dogs over something. I happened to be in the middle, and I was a pawn. I just started the ministry, and I was needing both of their help to get into the ministry and to do what I was going to be doing. And I won't get into the whole thing, but one told the other one, because he was over him, said, I don't care what you think about anything, and they're talking about something else. You're going to do blah, 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 blah. And he says, oh, by the way, you're going to do this with David, too. And he got mad. I'm innocent. I've done nothing. I've been a help for both of them. And next thing I know, that guy tried to destroy me. I got so upset over all this thing, I would lay and cry in my bed at night, and I'd say, God, if this is working for you, I don't want to work for you. If I got to be subjected to this kind of stuff, I can do this at Procter & Gamble. I may get it every day. I don't need it in the ministry, too. And the Lord said, quit focusing on Him and focus on Me. I couldn't eat. I lost weight. I couldn't think. I couldn't worship. And when He said, quit focusing on Him and start focusing on Me and give Him to Me, wow. Peace came in. I started gaining my weight back. I got happy again. And we're in camp meeting. Not long after that, we're in camp meeting. And the guy came past me in camp meeting, and when he saw me, I kid you not, I went to reach my hand out, and he did this, and walked, and sat in the pew in front of me. And the Lord said, focus on Me. I said, yes, sir. And we started singing praise and worship, and it was so powerful. And as we're singing praise and worship, the Lord spoke to me now and said, now reach out for Him. So while we're doing praise and worship, I tapped him on the shoulder. And he turned around and looked at me. And honestly, I thought he had laser beams in his eyes. He turned around and looked at me. And when he did, because the Lord told me, now's it. I put my arms up like this. He turned around and grabbed me and fell on my shoulder and started crying. And said, please forgive me. You're like my son. I have no idea why I did what I did. It weren't Brother Hazel either. He said, you're like my son. I don't know why I did what I did. Will you please forgive me? And he sat there and held me for about 5 minutes and cried on my shoulder and asked me to forgive him for treating me the way he treated me. You know what? I honestly believe that if I'd have focused on him, I was talking to a guy yesterday at Eastern Pines, and the guy was talking about his wife getting mad at him. I said, yeah, women got a tendency to get mad, but so do husbands. Wives and husbands, they both get mad at each other. And then the wife says, yeah, but I don't hold a grudge like you do. And then the guy began talking to me. And he said, yeah, I hold grudges for a long time. And he began to tell me about an uncle in his life, that he didn't like what his uncle did. And he held a grudge. And he was proud of this grudge. He said when his uncle went to the hospital years later and was on his deathbed, and they asked him, would he please go talk to him? He says, no, I ain't going to talk to that sorry rascal. He said, I got a grudge, and I'm going to hold it. He said, that man's been dead 15 years, and he said, I still hold that grudge. He focused on the wrong thing. He focused on that uncle. He didn't focus on God. So now, again, I didn't mean to go into all that, but praise God. Focus on the sure things, the stable things. So there's five things, and we're only going to do one today, praise God. Y'all are saying, oh, we ain't got to do any more. And I got to do one. There's five things that were sure that they were to be focused on. I love that. Look at that. Bring them out. There we go. Get ready. Five assurances in the storm. Five things you can count on. Five things you can bank on. The very first thing is, the Lord brought them there. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. They were enjoying the loaves and the fishes. They were enjoying all this good stuff that was going on and how God was being praised and how all these people were being fed and all this stuff was going on. They were enjoying all this stuff. And now Jesus sends them in a boat and says, get in the boat while I dismiss the crowd. And so they're following what Jesus said. And following what Jesus said after a great miracle, they run into a storm like they had never experienced before. Let me tell you something. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a blind mood. I mean, a blind move. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure when the disciples in the water in there going, don't you care that we perish? Help us. We're dying. We're drowning here. I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't say, oh, no, I didn't know that. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have sent you there. No. Matter of fact, the Bible clearly says, look, watch this. Jesus sent them knowing what was going to happen. See, here's the timing of the storm. Watch this. Jesus knew the opportunity was present. Their faith was at a high. But Jesus also knew they had their eyes now tilted toward the miracle. And God said, I need you to get your eyes tilted not only toward the miracle, I need to get your eyes tilted from the miracle to the miracle worker. And I want you to see that I'm not only God in the good times. Right now is a good time for me to show you. I'm not only God in the good times. I'm God in the bad times. And so right on the eve, right on the edge, on the prefaces. You're right here. All this awesome stuff going on. And then it goes all to pieces. You see, let me tell you something. How many know that you never go to the next level until you take a test? How many went to school and you had to take your test? You never went to the next level until you did what? That's right. Okay, I'm getting ready to close. Y'all sound like I say, praise God. Get ready. That was your test. Some of y'all passed. You didn't say it. Watch this now. I know this is going to seem kind of odd, but I just want you to watch this. God, or the storms reveal God's great love for us, okay? He knows there's some things that you can only learn in the storm. There's some things I've learned in the storm that I could not have learned any other way. I remember the things I learned during my mama's sickness all those years and my mama's death. I remember the things I learned that I could have learned no other way. I remember the things that I learned in my wife's sickness and in her death. I think about the things, other storms that have been in my life, the lessons I learned that I could not have learned any other way. God knows this. Amen. And so he brings these on. He lets these come our way just for that. So remember, when you're going through that season, remember this. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So real quick, we'll take with just a second. Six purposes why he sent them in the storm. There's six purposes. I'm not sure which one he was using on each one of them, but I'm pretty sure all of them got one or two or three of them. Ready? Number one, cleansing. God allows storms in your life to cleanse you, get your attention. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I had been afflicted, that I may keep your statutes. Psalm 119:67 and 71. Secondly, believe it or not, for companionship, an intimate relationship with God. Be merciful to me, Psalm 57:1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I told somebody the other day about, I remember when Bethany was 5 years old, and I, She wanted to ride. We went to Ghost Town, and she wanted to ride a roller coaster with me. And I said, Bethany, I'm not even sure you're big enough to ride this roller coaster. She said, try me, Daddy, try me. So we go over there, and they got that line. And Bethany was always a pretty tall girl, but she had that line. And Bethany stuck her head back there, and she went. And the man said, you just made it. And she turned and grinned. She said, you got to take me now, Daddy. I said, okay. And so I don't know if she'd ever ridden a roller coaster before or not. Have you ever ridden before that? That's your first time? We get in a roller coaster, and we're going click, 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 click. And she said, hold me, Daddy. I said, okay. So I put my arm around her. Click, click, click. And I said, Bethany, are you ready? And before I could say ready, and Bethany, bless her heart, the first time, stuck her head right up under my, a few little bit of thing, stuck her head right here. And so I just held her. And she just held on. And I thought, oh, God, I'm sorry that I even brought her up here. And so she goes through the loop, loop, blah, blah, blah. She's still stuck right here. And when we get through, I said, I'm sorry, dear. We don't have to go there. She says, no, Daddy, please, let's go again. Let's go again. Let's go again. So next time we did it, she didn't do that. Next time she went, all right, yeah, all right. You see, she weren't afraid of that roller coaster because she could get up under the wings of her daddy. Amen? So, think about that. Companionship. Now, in companionship, y'all looking like y'all want to be left alone, so I'm getting there. All right, watch this. Conformity. Conforming our image. Romans 8:29 says, for he foreknew, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Sometimes God just molding you into the shape of his son. Let him do it. How many ever said, Jesus, I want to be like you? And then get upset when God brings a cross in your life. I'm going to back that one up. How many ever said, Jesus, I want to be like you, and then get upset when God brings a cross in your life? Jesus, I want to be like you. And then you got in, and the people that you thought loved you misunderstood you. But Jesus, I'm trying to be like you. And he says, well, hold on, I'm trying to make you like me. All right. Comfort. God doesn't always do something in us, but often he's doing something through us. If you want to be a blessing to others, you have to be broken. A vessel that's unbroken has very limited use. I don't know if y'all remember one night we were here and I took a broken, it was a Sunday morning, I think. I took a broken vessel and I stuck a light in it. And I said, an unbroken vessel, I stuck a light in it, you couldn't see it. And I stuck the light in the broken vessel, and where the glue had put it back together, you could see the light. And some of us, God, people can't see God in us until we're broken. Then they can see us. They can see God in us. Just about through. Convictions. Sister Brenda, we're getting ready to play something for us, can you? We're getting ready to go for it. Convictions. Pain solidifies your conviction that God is sufficient and will take care of you. When I'm hurting, I understand. Let me tell you something. How many times have you done something through the pain or in spite of the pain? I remember when my mama died, the hardest thing I had to do was preach funerals. My mama, my family went to the funeral home. We had an appointment at the funeral home. And at the same time, I had a funeral. And the woman was the same age of my mama. The woman had some of the same stuff my mama had. And the woman had two boys that were my age. And I remember standing in that pulpit, preaching her funeral, knowing that my daddy and my brothers and my sister were about 10 miles away at the funeral home making arrangements for my mama's funeral. I'm not kidding. I thought I was going to die on the inside. And I stopped and I said, God, you already knew this. You allowed this. Help me to trust you in the middle of all this. Convictions. The final one, change. Paul's a great example when God got his attention on the road to Damascus. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And God allowed that storm in his life to get him back on the right track. Remember, we'll talk about it again next week, a little bit about it. Jesus knew the storm was coming, and he sent his disciples unaware into something that was life-threatening. Because he was teaching them something that could not be taught any other way. Everybody please stand. One of my thrills in life and pains was to be able to coach my kids in all kinds of sports. But I was the defensive coach most of the time in football. And DC, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, was a nose guard. And that boy could just get to that quarterback like nobody's business. And he got too comfortable with it. At a practice one night, the offensive coach says, "He ain't getting by today." And I said, "Okay." And he had it set up for two players to come and hit DC at the same time. And when they hit him so hard you could hear it. It sounded like rams. And it knocked DC on his back. And he couldn't breathe. And I went down to him. And he said, "Set me up, Daddy." So I set him up. And he was crying. And he said, "Daddy, that hurt." And I said, "Yeah, I knew it was coming." He said, "You didn't tell me?" I said, "You needed this." He said, "How?" I said, "Because this is what's going to happen in the real game." He says, "Daddy, tell him to back off." I said, "No, I'm not going to tell him to back off." And inside, I was hurting on the inside. When I saw my son, tears in his eyes, couldn't breathe, it hurt me so bad. But as a coach, I knew he needed it so that he could learn how to take that line. And I said, "Son, here's your choice. You can lay down here and quit, or you can get up and you can not get knocked down again." He said, "Daddy, I'd rather not get knocked down again." I said, "Okay." And I showed him what to do. The rest of the night, he never got knocked down again. But while he was down in his stance, and here I am trying to be a dad and a coach at the same time, I saw tears falling out of his helmet because he was still hurting from that hit. And I wanted so bad to look at those guys, "Don't you ever hit him again." Well, I knew that would not be beneficial for him or them, either one. And I watched him. And I watched him grow that night. God sees your pain. God's counted every tear. But God knows some of the stuff you're going through, although it brings discomfort, although it brings hurt, although it brings pain, he sent you in it because he knows there's no other way for you to learn the lessons that he needs you to learn without going through that storm. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today, while nobody's looking, I'm going to pray for you. Not going to point you out, I'm going to pray for you. If you're here today and you've got that storm taking place in your life and you're needing God to bolster you, to pick you up, to strengthen you, but nobody's looking around, would you raise that hand and say, "I'm one of those"? Lord, touch them. right now in the name of Jesus. Let them realize, Lord, this storm is not to destroy them. Let them not focus on the thief, but let them focus on Jesus. Not let them focus on the shaky stuff. Let them focus on the solid stuff, and that's Jesus Christ. Lord, give them strength. Show them. Give them hope. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it right now. Now I'm going to ask you one more question while nobody's looking. If you didn't realize it until today, how many are glad to know there's times where Jesus sends you into that storm in order for him to show you something? Lord, right now, bless them all. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we trust that you know what you're doing. We trust you, God, that in the midst of this storm, something wonderful is happening. Something's taking place that we never could imagine. We trust you totally in the name of Jesus. Now, if you have a need of anything whatsoever, you just want to pray, whatever, the altars are open. The altars are open. If you just want to talk to God, the altars are open. You want to pray, you want to talk to God, come on, spend some time with them. God's awesome. He's available. He's here now. He doesn't want you to focus on the storm. He wants you to focus on him. Remember, Peter did the impossible until he focused on the storm. As long as he focused on the unshakable, he was walking on the water, doing the impossible. But when he focused on the shakable, he fell. He started to sink. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Father, help us keep our eyes off of the shakable and keep our eyes on the unshakable. If we get our eyes on the shakable, then we want to point fingers and blame and lose hope. But if we'll keep our eyes on the unshakable, we'll want to raise our hands. Instead of point fingers, raise our hands. And instead of complain, we'll praise. Father, help me, Lord, to keep my hands up and praise you in the name of Jesus. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for us, God, in the name of Jesus. Jesus is mine. Y'all help me sing it. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased above, washed in his spirit, washed in his love. Sing that chorus, ready? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Glory! Brother Baker, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? The front one.